this way.
In this way.
When she understood the truth of everything philosophically. Gopikayam. Unto Mother Yashoda. Saha. The Supreme Lord. Ishvara. The Supreme Controller. Vaishnavim. Vishnu Maya or Yoga Maya. Vyatanaut. Expanded. Maya. Yoga Maya. Pudrasneya Mayim.
Very much attached.
Because of maternal affection for her son. Vibhu, the Supreme Lord. So, translation, Mother Yashoda, by the grace of the Lord, could understand the real truth. But then again, the Supreme Master, by the influence of the internal potency Yoga Maya, inspired her to become absorbed in intense maternal affection for her son. You can repeat. Mother Yashoda,
by the grace of the Lord,
could understand the real truth.
But then again,
the Supreme Master,
by the influence of the internal potency Yoga Maya,
inspired her to become absorbed
in intense maternal affection for her son.
So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Jai. Although Mother Yashoda understood the whole philosophy of life, at the next moment she was overwhelmed by affection for her son by the influence of Yoga Maya. Unless she took care of her son Krishna, she thought, how could he be protected? She could not think otherwise, and thus she forgot all her philosophical speculations. This forgetfulness is described by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur as being inspired by the influence of Yoga Maya. Mohana Sadharamyan Maya. The materialistic persons are captivated by Maha Maya, whereas devotees, by the arrangement of the spiritual energy, are captivated by Yoga. Tam vidita tatvayam gopikayam sahishvara vaishnavim yatantam maya ruksha sneha mahim vibhu. So omaganatim dandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur viditam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. So here it described that initially Yashoda Maya understood the tattvas. So this word tattva is actually a very interesting word. It doesn't simply mean the truth, but it means a lot more than that. Of course, the word tat means basically you put an H into it, it's like English, that. And tattva is like thatness. So what does it mean, thatness? It means, according to the Bhagavad Gita, Natsato Vijate Bhavo Na Bhavo Vijate Sataha Ubiyorapi Drishtavantas 20 Os Tatvadashvi. That means things that are real categories that always continue to exist. In other words, the Bhagavad Gita says that those things that don't continue to exist are not real in a ultimate sense, like a soap bubble, or your upadis, like your being an American or Colombian, that means a Colombian in Spanish, or Hispaniola. I just say so was a Spanish person, a lady. Oh. Let me turn off that.
I can't reach it from here.
Don't
How can you tell it's Spanish? What's the name for Spaniard?
What's the name for a Spanish lady? Española?
Española.
So, these are not tacos. Someone's a Colombiana, Española, well, how do you say redneck in Spanish? Or no? What? You don't know. Anyway, rojo, how do you say neck in Spanish? Rojo, cuello. So, someone's a redneck, someone's a Croatian, someone's a whatever, Mexicana, you know, all these different things. These are not tacos. America is not a taco. Although, we often, make taco great again. Anyway, so you know, all these things are just like temporary, will of the wisp, as Srila Prabhupada would say. And they're just like, you know, not real in an ultimate sense. I mean, yes, this country exists, but it's really not real in an ultimate. It's not a taco. So taco means those things that continue to exist. And so it's very important. And actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur very much dwells on this in his Dashamula, you know, what a tattva is, what is real. And what is real is, of course, Krishna is real. The material energy is real, although it changes. We may say, oh, you just said the material energy is not real. I didn't say the material energy is not real. I said the form that the material energy takes at a specific instance is not real. But the material energy is real. It continues to exist. Sometimes bhutva, praliyate. Sometimes it's manifest. Sometimes it's not manifest. But it exists. And the jiva, that's the jiva tattva, and then Krishna's spiritual energy, and then maya tattva, Yogamaya tattva, these are all tattvas. Anyway, so, of course, we do worship what's called the panchatattva. It's another five tattvas. That is, then again, you have Ishvara, who is the Supreme Personality of God, and Lord Chaitanya. And you have Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda is not only Vishnu tattva, he's also considered Guru tattva. I was listening to his lecture this morning. Prabhupada was talking about panchatattvas, the lecture Prabhupada gave on the Chaitanya Charitamrita before Prabhupada had published the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Lord Nityananda is Guru Tattva, and he's Vishnu Tattva. And then you have Advaitacharya, and Advaitacharya, of course, is also Vishnu Tattva. And then you have Gadara, and he's Shakti Tattva, that means the energy of the Lord. And then, of course, you have Srivas, who is Jiva Tattva. So, the impersonalists, and they're called, you know, Nirvishesha, in Prabhupada's mantra we have, you know, isn't it? Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravana Pachani. Nirvishesha Shunyavani Pachyatradejatari. So this Nirvishesha word means not understanding the distinction between the tattvas. You understand that? There's distinction. They just don't understand how one tattva is distinct from another one. In other words, or another way of understanding nirvishesha, is there's no distinction. There's two ways of understanding that word, nirvishesha. Impersonalism. Nirvishesha means there's no distinction between the tattvas. Everything is one. Or another way of understanding this nirvishesha is that a misunderstanding of the tattvas or the distinctions between the tattvas. So, anyway, so which is impersonalist. You know, I'm God, you're God, we're all God, or everything is one, or we lose our identity when we become self-realized, we merge into the absolute, emerge into the effulgence of the Supreme Person. This is all nirvishesha philosophy. Of course, sunyavadi is something different. Sunyavadi means voidism. Voidism, nothing is real. Actually, it's interesting nowadays that many scientists are taking a form of Buddhism, not the original Buddhism, but a form of Buddhism that advocates voidism. You know, nothing is real. Nothing is real. So anyway, so this is the meaning of the word tattva. So vidita tattvayam. She actually understood the truth of everything philosophically. Wow. In other words, Yashoda Maya understood the difference between there's Vishnu, there's the Jiva soul. I mean, that's, if you take Prabhupada's words literally here, which I am doing, she understood all these different tattvas. And then the next line is very interesting. Gopayam, Gopikayam sa Ishvara. So then, the supreme Ishvara. Now, Krishna here is referred to as Ishvara, which is one of the tattvas. Ishvara tattva, you know, Vishnu tattva, Ishvara tattva. And Prabhupada said that, another thing I heard this morning, Prabhupada said Krishna is Parameshvara. We're all Ishvaras to a certain extent. We're controlling a certain amount of this material energy or certain amount of our lives. But Krishna is Parameshvara. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadir Adir. Govinda Sarva Karna Karna. So really that's one of the tattvas. So that's why it's interesting that you understand the Sanskrit. That's why Krishna here is referred to as Ishvara, not the word for Krishna is not Krishna here, which is the same person anyway. Because previously in the last line you had vidita tattvayam, which is the tattvas. And so therefore, referring to the tattvas, one of the tattvas, Ishvara, decides to employ another tattva, Vaishnavim, which is Yogamaya. And Yogamaya is actually quite interesting. I did try to do some research about Yogamaya. Of course, the Acharyas say all sorts of different things about Yogamaya and Subhadra, who is Yogamaya, and also Purnamasi in Krishna's pastimes, who is the Yogamaya who arranges for Krishna's pastimes. Yogamaya is having 16 different forms, and I tried my best to find out what those 16 forms were. I couldn't. I mean, I went through all Prabhupada's books. I went through the whole internet. Went through Mr. Google, and I couldn't figure out what the 16 forms are. I mean, there were listings of some of them, like Bhadrakali was one of them. Durga is another form. You know, Parvati, but not there wasn't one place a list of all the 16 forms of Yogamaya. And Subhadra, of course, is one of the forms of Yogamaya. But in different circumstances, this is really interesting, talking about Subhadra. Subhadra, in different circumstances, manifests different aspects of Krishna's internal potency. When she's in Vrindavan, she manifests bhakti. You understand? And here, Yogamaya is manifesting the covering of one's understanding of the tattvas. It's really interesting. So Subhadra and Yogamaya acts differently in different circumstances. I mean, for example, when the residents of Mathura saw Krishna, depending on their particular slant or relationship or philosophical position, they saw Krishna differently. Some of them saw him as death personified. Some of them saw him as the most lovable child. You know, so everybody perceives Krishna differently. Of course, that's also mentioned in the Gita. What is it? Yeyata mam prapajante tam sataiva vajamiham. Yeyata mam prapajante. As they surrender unto me, everyone gets reciprocated accordingly. And everyone is on my path. Of course, the impersonalists sometimes use that particular expression, saying that everybody's on the same path. Isn't it? They say, actually, everyone's on the same path. And we can counter that particular argument of the impersonalists by saying, yes, everyone's on the same path, but some people are going one direction, some people are going another direction. That's a typical expression of the impersonalists. We're all on the same path. Yeah, but you're headed in the wrong direction, buddy. So, So anyway, so sometimes Subhadra Yogamaya, she acts as bhakti, the bhakti. Sometimes she acts to arrange for Krishna's pastimes like Purnamasi and Vrindavan. Sometimes she acts to cover the devotees. And then through her expansion in the Bhagavad Gita, I believe it's 7:25 in the Bhagavad Gita, we have Naham Prakasha Sarvasha Yogamaya Samavrata Mudu Yam Avijananti. That for those who are mudhas, Prabhupada was very fond of using the word mudha. Mudha. I mean, I just listening, you know, every morning I listen to Prabhupada's class for at least a half an hour before Mangalarti. And you just hear Prabhupada use it, mudhas, you know, they're asses. So, but that's, of course, from Krishna. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samaprata. That those who are mudhas, that is, you know, namam duskritina mudha, vajante naranama, ayay pratyanam, sudam bhavamashrita. There's actually, even though mudhas is used in that verse in a specific way, sometimes it's used by Prabhupada in a general way. Well, let me explain what I mean. In the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, mudha is just used as a different category of persons who don't surrender to Krishna. But Prabhupada sometimes used the word mudha and to include all the categories of people who didn't surrender, don't surrender to Krishna. So the four categories of people who don't surrender to Krishna, you know, are people just like asses, you know. You know, just have their nose to the grindstone and just like, can't think of anything else but, you know, eat, sleep, mate, and defend. That's a mudha. Pravajane Naradama. And then lowest of mankind, you know, people just like, just basically just don't have brains. Either genetically or, you know, for whatever other reason, they don't have the brains to understand. They're just animals. Pravajane Naradama. Maya Pratikyana. Those whose knowledge is stolen by illusion. That means, you know, you become so expert in science or philosophy and word jugglery that basically you become so enamored with it you don't even approach the Supreme Lord. And then finally my Sunam Bhava Mashrita, those people who are really dedicated, you know, their whole life is dedicated to basically dissuading people from worshipping God, like our friend R.D. Richard Dawkins. You know, his whole life. You know, can you imagine? You know, it's all right. You know, maybe you think, well, maybe God exists, maybe he doesn't. God doesn't exist. But to dedicate your whole life to God in a negative way is like Kamsa. Right? It's whole life. I mean, it's his focus of life. Can you imagine that? It's like Kamsa's focus was to kill Krishna. So anyway, so Prabhupada would call all these four categories in a general sense mudhas. They're all asses. So Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yogamaya Samavrata Mudayam Navajanati. Actually, Bhagavad Gita says that for those people who are in the category, Prabhupada's category of mudhas, then Krishna covers them with his illusory energy, which is actually an expansion. He said, Yogamaya Samavrata. Samavrata means to be covered. By Yogamaya. So here, this particular verse, 7:25, it's not actually the spiritual manifestation of Yogamaya. It's another one of the forms of Yogamaya. Like we were talking about some of the forms of Yogamaya, the 16 forms, which I don't know the whole list. And maybe someone could find it out for me. Somehow I'll do some research. But, you know, Bhadrakali, for example. Bhadrakali is the ferocious form of the Lord. Not the Lord, of Yogamaya, expansion of Yogamaya, Mahamaya. Because Mahamaya is an expansion of Yogamaya. And the interesting thing, another interesting thing I was hearing from Prabhupada, is that Krishna can change, because the energy is one, and manifest differently in different circumstances. Krishna can change matter to spirit and spirit to matter. Which is really interesting. You know, when he can change Mahamaya to Yogamaya, Yogamaya to Mahamaya. Because Krishna is, like Prabhupada gives the example, Krishna is like an expert electrician who could take electricity and turn it to heating energy or cooling energy, depending on the need. So Krishna, just like we're using things in Krishna's service, and this is all, you know, normally wood, everything out like that is a manifestation of Krishna's external energy. But if you use it in Krishna's service, Prabhupada gave another example. He says, just like an iron rod can become like fire if you immerse it in the fire for long enough. It becomes hotter, 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 and it acts like fire. Or we install the deities. And, you know, everybody knows that, you know, we have all the deities on the altar, right? And some deities are Nimrud deities in different places. So that matter becomes transformed. So in one sense, Krishna's energy is one. Parashya Shakti Vrivadaya Vashuyate Svabhavati Jnana Balakriyacha. But then she manifests in different ways in order to serve or carry out the purposes of the Supreme Personality of God. So that's Vaishnavim. Yatanam Mayam. And then finally, Mayam. She's referred to here first, two places, Vaishnavim, because she's a Vaishnavi. He's the pure servant of Krishna, Vishnu Maya. And then Yatanalt, Mayam. And then again, Mayam means here energy, Krishna's energy, Yoga Maya. And what does Yoga Maya do, according to this verse? Putra Sneha Mayim. There's again the energy that puts one, or the illusion that puts one into the Putra Sneha. Putra Sneha, Putra means, of course, son. The word meaning the person who saves you from hell. That's a typical word for son in Sanskrit. So putra, and actually another thing, the Prabhupada said, if the son doesn't save you from hell, he's what? Mutra. Because yeah, it comes from a particular, anyway, when men and women have a relationship, there's a particular aperture in the body. And there's urine too, so it's considered the son who is not a devotee or a learned person, according to Janaka Pandit, is Mutra, not Putra. He's the son of urine. It's Prabhupada's expression. You've heard it many times. And then, anyway, so Putra is a good son. So Putra is Sneha. So many people in this material world are absorbed in Putra Sneha. That means attachment to the son. Actually, Prabhupada said that the mother is so attached to the child that he gave several examples. One is that he considers the stool of the child to be like sandalwood pulp. That's one aspect of Putra Sneha. And then also another one is the blind child has lotus eyes. That's another example. And Putra Sneha. So this Putra Sneha in this material world is simply based on the body. So it's just like Pumsa Striya Mituni Vam Metam Tayor Mitum Rati Granti Ho Atogra etc. Sutapta Vitara Janashya Moham Yam Hamamiti. It actually takes one away from Krishna. Of course, that's one of the favorite verses in the Radha Damodar party, isn't it? Pumsa Striya Mituni Bhav Meta. You remember that one? You probably had like thousands of classes on that. Pumsa, that what? A man and woman get together, Pumsa Striya. I think you can analyze this one. Striya means that the person who increases the enjoyment, right? The Striya.
And what?
So you have Putra Sneha Mayim. In this material world, you also have Putra Sneha Mayim. But this Putra Sneha Mayim in the material world takes one away from Krishna. Whereas Putra Sneha Mayim in the spiritual realm, if one has Krishna, then it brings one to Krishna. And also, another point is, this is actually pointed out by Lord Kapiladeva in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that if one's son is a devotee, if one is attached to one's son, that also brings one to Krishna. One of the instructions of Lord Kapiladeva to Devahuti was the very same attachment that one has for materialistic persons or materialistic things, if it's focused on the devotee of the Lord, then that same attachment can be the cause of your liberation. Which is interesting. So if one is attached to their child who's a devotee, or attached to having their child become a devotee, then that's not a Mahamaya, that's Yogamaya. I mean, that's the spiritual energy, that's devotional service. But if someone is attached, like, let's say my mother was, or is, to me becoming a doctor or something like that, that's putra sneha mahamayim. So in other words, attachment is not bad. Like we were talking about yesterday, that, you know, attachment, we were, in the early days of the movement, especially Radha Damodar, you know, myself too, we were talking about all attachment was bad. You have to be detached from everybody. But if you're attached to someone, like if the husband is attached to the wife, as far as bringing her Krishna consciousness, doing the best thing for someone, that attachment is the cause of liberation, even if the wife's not a pure devotee. Just because you're attached to bringing someone to Krishna, that attachment is not Mahamaya, that attachment is Yogamaya, spiritual. So we're not advocating that one give up all attachment for family, society, friendship, and love, but one spiritualize that attachment, and that attachment becomes the cause of your liberation. Just like, you know, another example is like a thorn, using a thorn to remove a thorn. So attachment removes the thorn of material entanglement. So anyway, so putra sneha mayam. So it's a very interesting verse. And then again, the last word here, I just thought we'd analyze it in Sanskrit somehow or other. Krishna's giving me a little intelligence. So vibhu. Vibhu means the great one. The supreme word. Prabhupada translated the supreme word. So here, the references to Krishna in this verse are actually in references to the tattva, to Krishna's ontological position. You don't really have the word Krishna in this verse. You have the tattvas, which is contrasting to the first line here. Vidita tattvayam, she understood the truth of everything philosophically. Does everyone understand what I'm talking about? And then you have Krishna referred to Ishvara and Vibhu in terms of his, you know, his talk, you know, ontological position. Ontological, well, let me describe what ontological means for those of you. That means basically the nature of one's, of one. You know, our ontological position is as jiva soul. Does that make sense? It's ontology means the study of the nature, the ultimate nature of something. So the ontological, Krishna's ontological position, so it's interesting, Krishna is not referred to in a, what we would say, a personal way here, except in putrasnamaya, you know, referring to Krishna, her attachment to Krishna. Krishna is referred to in terms of his tattva in this verse, and that contrasts with, or it doesn't contrast, it actually reflects the first line, itam vidita tattvayam. All right. Any questions or comments about this? I thought it was quite interesting. This whole study of tattvas. Yeah, conquers.
So she is completely taken by this, by the law of the sun. So everything else goes
bad. Yeah, everything else is negated by that.
Yeah, I think it
trusts. Yeah. everything else is negated by this putra snake. All the, that's true, it negates everything else in the verse. That, you know, that Krishna is the Vibhu, Krishna is the Ishwara, she doesn't care about any of that stuff. In the beginning, the first line is she understood the tattvas, and then after that, she lost her understanding of the tattvas.
We can see what the material is not, also like the mother of somebody who's very, very prominent in politics, for example.
Mother
of what? The mother of somebody who may be very prominent in some field, in politics.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. The material, there is also a reflection in the sense that we can see how this mother, man, and the sun is so important, and everybody is bound to the sun. That is her son.
Yeah.
For her, that is the most important thing, more than the fame and the notoriety of this sun that she has. So so many reflections of the spiritual truths that we can see, just as examples in material, within the material current.
Yes, I mean, even Devaki, she asked Krishna to bring back all of her dead sons so she could feed them, isn't it? I mean, it's amazing. The mother's attachment to the son is the strongest or the closest thing to pure love in this world, probably. So yes. And of course, as far as illusory things, the attachment between men and women is more illusory than the attachment between mother and the son. Actually, there's one person I forget. There is no illusion so complete that, you know, when you have the thing between men and women.
Intoxication.
You know, intoxication. Pum's history. I mean, you know, there's many verses, and I'm sure Krishna Prabhu was memorized them all when he was with Radha Dhamma, or tried to forget them. But
I can tell you about classes that I can't tell you about.
Especially some of Tamal Krishnamurti's classes.
Yeah, well, others do.
For real.
I thought it interesting that Yoga Maya is in a female position.
Yeah.
I'm just interested to know it's a major engagement. What she's
doing. Yeah. Oh, yeah. She has the best engagement. I mean, the best among the best. Other than Krishna, the best among the best are females. The gopis are the best devotees. Radharani is the best devotee. The rivers are actually all female. And sacred rivers are all females. We're actually talking about this on the GBC conferences, this one river, the Chandrabhaga River. And Lokanath Maharaj wants to install a Chandrabhaga deity, and there's a whole discussion. Do we want to have other deities worshipped in ISKCON? So, but all the, like you have Ganga Devi, Yamuna Devi, I mean, all the sacred rivers are ladies. Of course, the mountains are men. What's that? Yeah. Mountains are all men.
So what's the problem with having ladies?
The boats are all ladies. The boats.
Boats? Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, in practically every language, you know, she is the boats.
It depends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Avatars name the boats after women.
Yeah, women. So, what's the other?
What's the problem with having ladies as gurus?
Yeah, what is the problem? What is the problem? I don't know what the problem is. You know, maybe you can tell me. There's no problem. I mean, ladies, Krishna consciousness is above the bodily platform. I mean, there has to be some aspect of Varnashram too where the ladies are protected. I'm not saying that, you know, there is Varnashram. The ladies are protected by the husband, the son, father, and things like that, which is part of the culture that we're trying to teach. But when you're talking about, you know, being a guru, a spiritual thing, that's transcendental to Varnashram. Still, Varnashram has to be observed to keep society stable. So there's both things have to be considered. But there's no problem.
Okay, on that happy note.